it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to 3 o'clock hour. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Evel, Matt Scraby. Just got done talking to Mr. Pivetta. Fun interview. He might be the world's interesting man, most interesting man as well.
Sounded good, man.
We got a few of those guys. Real quick, Scraby brought this to my attention, so I'll address it. For all you investigators out there,
sleuth.
Mudcat is just off for the week. This has been planned since January. Nothing nefarious is going on. I will be back on radio Monday for the rest of the go. So, bada bing. I've filled my TV duties for the year after Sunday.
You've done a good TV job, by the way,
Thank
my friend.
Thank you, sir.
And I know it's an adjustment. Because you do radio all year, and you got to explain things totally different on television.
Or not explain things.
Because
TV is there. You know, I have found myself, like, dog-tired after these games. Mm-hmm. It's just like it's more mentally taxing on the TV side.
Really? Because,
you know, there's a production, you know, you got to do your spiel before the pregame, and then, you know, during a game, you know, you're trying not at least me, trying not to step on to Don. I got to let Don do his thing.
No, TV is it's way more mentally taxing.
Yeah.
You're on camera the whole, you know, a lot. Radio, it's all you, man. You're theater of the mind. You're the whole show.
See, I would think it was different.
There's so many other things.
Just because you have to explain everything in radio. So you're trying to get more in. Because on TV, like you said, you can let the picture do the storytelling, and you could talk about something else.
Yeah, I mean, that's the, like, the mechanics of it, which is fine. But what Chris is talking about, like, knowing you're on TV, you just have to be far more aware. Like, you know, you can't necessarily have your face scrunched up at a certain, like, you know, people will pick apart everything nowadays. So, like, you just got to kind of, like, you're, like, constantly on.
Like, that is true. My face would tell way too many stories.
Right. People will, you know, we got facial readers. We got body language readers out there. So you just got to be aware of all of that now.
Yeah. When I did TV for the hockey, because we used to do a lot of games on TV for the Gulls back in that time, calling the game was like the easy part. But, you know, taping the pre-recorded open.
Right.
Doing the pre-recorded halftime interview. That used to stress me out. Once I was like, loosen my tie and I go, oh, now I just announced the game. Now I got
that. Yeah, to Chris's point, like every day on TV, we have, we pre-record our thing. Sometimes we pre-record, sometimes it's live.
Yeah.
Like last night, yesterday for 9/11, when you got a national anthem that's going to play a little bit different or a little bit earlier, we got to go live. So yesterday was live. But even when it's live, before that, there's elements where we got to sit down and we go through all of those little graphics they show throughout the game, the statistics they show throughout the game, and you don't necessarily know when those are going to come up, but they want to show them to you so you're not surprised by it. So you're like tracking all of that, and it's, you know, you guys watch the game, you know, on TV a lot of times. It's not just like two or three graphics. There's like a graphic for almost every inning or two that we got, plus the statistics that go along with it.
Yeah.
And so it's just a lot. And so when I get home, the last, I've been doing this all week, since Monday I get home, I probably was good the first 2 days. Wednesday, dog tired. Thursday, dog tired. So
not only that, he's got to carry, he's got to hold up Don Orsillo. Don Orsillo.
I'm riding his
coattail. Okay, so actually,
he is such a pro's pro. I mean, it's like, got to be. For him, it probably makes it look so easy, but it's almost annoying. You know, he's done so many of those.
Tony, what happened the other night? Someone asked me this, and I completely forgot. But Don has his three if they strike out the side, Don has this whole thing, and I guess maybe you were supposed to be yelling something in the background, like, do it, Donnie!
I did my best Mudcat thing.
And I didn't hear you, but I was like, I think Tony's supposed to be yelling.
It happened the last time I did TV with him, but I was like, not going to do it. I was just like, nah, I'm not messing with that.
You know
but
what
they
saying,
convinced
Chris?
Me. They convinced me to do it this
yes,
time.
Yes, I know. So. As striking out the side, they'll give the video.
Say it, Donnie.
Say it, Donnie.
Tyler Freeman, Ezekiel Tovar, so-and-so, all down by way of the K.
There you go. Yeah, right.
And exactly. Jesse says, encaps it with a K.
Everybody's got their little touch, man. They got their touch. All right, Greg Olson had a good.
Thing.
And
you,
you, yeah. Take us through this, Tony. You kind of gave us.
I saw it as I was in one of my scrolling modes at that point, and I thought it was really good because it was something I hadn't heard in terms of how he thought college football in this particular case can go, and it had to pertain to NIL and transfers. It was very interesting. Take a listen.
I think the toothpaste out of the tube right now, I don't know how we put it back. I think the simplest answer that would at least buy everybody a little time to just reorganize themselves would be you can have NIL or you could have the transfer portal. You can't have both. The second you take a dollar, you're at that school for 4 years, whether you like it or not, whether you ever play. If you want to be able to transfer, you can't take the money. Can't take $2 million from Oklahoma and then the next year go to Texas Tech and then the next year go to and just go to the highest bidder. We can't have college free agency every single year.
Yeah, and it's unregulated free agency.
It'd be like an NFL player every single year being able to reshop. If I have a bad year, I'm contractually obligated to the Carolina Panthers because I have a four-year deal. But the second I make the Pro Bowl, I can re-enter the market and shop my services to everybody else. People would say, you're nuts. Well, then why can we do it in college?
I know. It's so broken.
Yeah, that's the problem. The last comment is the problem. But, yeah, I like his idea.
And it wasn't a permanent idea, by the way. He said just to kind of give yourself some time to kind of reorganize and kind of maybe figure it out. But if indeed this is an idea of free agency, right? Like in all of the major sports, you don't just get to become a free agent every year, especially if you're decent, right? So why isn't it the same? Why can't it be the same? You don't see MLB or NFL getting sued by, you know, I don't understand. Somebody sued, though.
Here's my problem, and that's probably why there's a lawyer out there that can help me. Right. There's a lawyer somewhere, a judge, you know, who's going to tell me that, you know, you have the right as a collegian, I guess, or whatever it is, to
a
shop
collegian?
What's the matter with that word?
I don't think that's a natural word.
Go back and do whatever it is you're not doing over there.
Oh, okay. Not doing, he said. I struck a chord with that one. I get what you're saying, Chris.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
I don't know. I agree with Greg Olson, and I'd love to be able to just institute it. But the way he put it is if you take a dollar, you're now going to have to play at Duke for 4 years. There's just nobody who's going to agree to that. And I don't know that a judge is going to back it up. That's the problem.
I don't know what a judge. I don't even know where the rules are. Like how we can begin to do this.
It is so
weird
right now.
There is no argument other than that it's broken right now.
Yes.
There's just no other way to say it.
Totally broken. But do you think the kids feel it's broken, or do you think it's fantastic for them?
No, I think the ones that are getting paid, they don't. They're like, nah, man, we're good. I want to go from Tennessee to UCLA to wherever.
One of the things is though, we hear about the kids that are making the money, and they're all, you know, a handful. But that's it, right? There's a lot of kids that aren't really getting a whole
right.
lot
the majority,
because of these rules.
We're talking like the one percenters, basically,
yeah.
out of all of the colleges.
Exactly.
College students, I should say.
Yeah. I don't know, though. It's going on at all levels of all sports. I mean, I see it in the women's basketball, right? I mean, I think four players to the portal this year.
this year?
Right. And they got four or five.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so,
okay.
You know, but the thing is, it's a whole new team every year. And I think that's the way it is now with pretty much
coaching
every
is going to be
coaching
highlighted
is
at
tough,
a
yeah.
Coaching is going to be highlighted so much in this world right now. Like if you are constantly bringing in five new people and then also being good, people are going to start to notice that, cuz that's not an easy deal to have like new personalities enter the fold and at the wave that they are entering and still be able to kind of keep the norms going.
I think San Diego State has an advantage over most.
Yes.
Because San Diego is such a fun destination to go play.
And they've established a culture. It's starting to feel like a little bit.
Well, the men certainly have. And
yeah.
I think the men, you know, I think they got a whole lot better in the transfer world from where they were last year. And I think the women did, too. The women got four players from four different Mountain West Conference schools.
So they're familiar with them, too.
They're familiar with them. They basically went and took, you know, four of the best players in the league that were going to try to keep them from winning and brought them on our team. So, yeah, Stacey Terry Hudson's doing a good job with it, but it doesn't mean it's not challenging as all hell.
Yeah, no doubt. So, she said as much when she came on last time.
Right, yeah.
Neil has a question. Is everybody on the Aztec men's basketball roster getting paid? That's actually a really good question.
I would probably say no.
Yeah. No, I would say yes.
You like, say all 15?
Well, you mean like was some scholarship money or something?
No,
or
no,
just,
NIL.
No, he's talking
NIL,
about NIL.
Yeah. I don't think everybody on the team
I don't
does.
Think everybody is getting NIL.
Like the starters are probably.
I would say so.
Magoon Gwath is definitely.
He getting some chips? Is that what you're saying, Scrooge?
I mean, he came back to say that. Yeah, he had the world was his oyster. Is that how they say it?
It was, but he also, I mean, he could have gone and I would assume got more NIL money elsewhere.
He could have got a boatload somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah, he gets a lot of credit to me for sticking with the people who believed in him. Because that we're not seeing a lot of that around college sports. So good for you, Magoon.
All right, let's step away. Once again, I have to really step away. I'll be back a little bit later for a Big Five and a countdown that you shall enjoy, I'm sure. Where are you guys going next?
Gailey Gambit stuff.
Yep, you know. The Gambit.
The Gambit. Yep. Daily Gambit up next. Morgan and Chris.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back.
I know I told you guys I was leaving, but
we're both back. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know whose turn it was, so.
It was your turn, but I figured since I promised to tell everybody this and I didn't.
Yes, you stayed for this. Thank
you. I'm going to stay. So I was watching this on, I don't know where I saw it, but Green Bay Packers are the only uniform, and I don't know if you guys will even notice it, have even noticed it.
Okay.
They are the only one still with like the old mesh kind of jersey that you know kind of has little holes in it.
I have noticed this,
and even their collar, right, is the three piping. I think it's like yellow, white, yellow, like through the V. No one else in the NFL has that, and here's why. Remember, they changed over to Nike however many years ago. Everybody else took the Nike template and kind of modified their uniform. And they, except for Green Bay, they use so it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. They use like a hometown manufacturer to do their uniforms. And that's why they still have like the old school kind of mesh holy uniform where everybody else has kind of like a dry fit, jersey. Now, if you try to buy it, it'll be the Nike version of it. But the actual game uniforms that they look are like, the only ones in the league like it. Now that you guys have heard this, you guys are going to notice it really easy watching them play.
I remember the mesh when I played in high school. I got my fingers stuck in that mesh a lot.
What?
Yeah, that's not good.
It rips a little bit, and then you put your finger in
cut.
It. And it
gets, that's how you get broken fingers, yeah.
Yeah, I dislocated my pinky, see?
Packers That's what are, I wanted to tell Packers, you. It wasn't that big a deal. But
no, I like it. Packers, you know, I like uniform stuff. Packers are also owned by the city of Green Bay.
Yeah, there's a guy right. with I love it. Owner hat on. Chris doesn't just like uniform stuff. He is obsessed. Yesterday during the show, he went to like footballuniforms.com and looked through like 30 years of Dolphins uniforms. Yep. It was a lot.
The website,
it was a lot.
Okay, the website for anybody that is uniform crazy about the NFL, it's called the Gridiron Uniform Database. And if you go in there, I'm just telling you, you can call up any game from any season in the history of the NFL and see who is wearing what uniform in that game. I'm just saying.
It is
that's
wild.
Crazy.
But that Chris was like, wild. Did you know in 1978 the Dolphins wore aqua for the first time?
actually, 1971 in Denver, first
okay.
time they wore aqua
See,
on the
there
road.
You go. I wasn't listening, apparently. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Tony.
All right, Tony.
All right, fellas. Have a good weekend.
We'll catch you a little later.
I'll see you in a little bit, actually.
Yeah, we'll see you in a little bit. All right, let's get to the Daily Gambito, as you guys call it.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Quick roster update for the Padres before we get into this. But they have recalled J.P. Sears from AAA El Paso. They have placed David Morgan on the 15-day IL with right shoulder inflammation, retroactive to September 9th. And Sears, obviously, is going to be the starter tonight.
I haven't seen Morgan for a few days. No. I was wondering why.
No lineup yet either.
By the way, if you go to the Gridiron Uniform Database website, if you go there, I call your attention to week 5 of the 1964 NFL season. Yes, 1964. Week 5, the only time in NFL history both teams ran out onto the field, the Lions and the Vikings that day, both wearing their white road uniforms. They didn't communicate properly. Before the game.
That is really funny. I
love that.
I gotta say.
And it's documented there in the on the database website. All right. Last night I was 3-4, you were 4-3. So you picked up a little
finally.
Ground. I did win the one bet where I went with Stephen Kolek to pitch more innings than the Yankees Cam Schlittler.
Yes, thank you.
Kolek won that, but you ended up beating me for the night. So I'm 15-12. You're 11-16.
I'm working my way back.
You got a chance to get back to the 500 mark. All right, here's my favorite one of the day right off the bat. Colorado Rockies themselves over under 1.5 runs scored tonight.
1.5 runs. I mean, they haven't scored at Petco this year.
Would you bet on them to score at least 2 tonight against the Padres?
You got to think that it's good. You got to think that it's going to happen
at some
point.
Somebody's got to hit one fly ball somewhere and it drops in. But
I hate to do this to J.P. Sears, but
you're going to say yes.
1.5 runs?
That's it. They just need 2 to win the bet.
Under. I think they score. I'm going to go over.
You're going over.
Yeah.
All right. I'll stay under. Why not? Let's say the Padres shut them out for a 5th straight time. You know, part of me wonders why the Rockies didn't just climb on the plane and go home. They're wasting our time this weekend.
I was listening to Joni. That's a Jesse and Tony combined thing.
Okay.
I was listening to Jesse and Scanlon last night, and they were saying the Rockies, and I agree, have looked like a better team than the first time they came to town. Even if they're not very good record-wise, they at least are looking like a somewhat of a major league team.
Yeah, glad they think so. Sears, 5 innings, over under tonight.
Ooh, we have the lineup now too. It's officially out.
All right, well, we're gonna have to hold off
because Sears.
We don't have enough time in this segment. Sears over under 5 innings. I go over. Hopefully those fly balls will die on the warning track like they usually do at Petco.
Yeah, I'll go over as well.
Okay, Walker Buehler. makes his Phillies debut tonight. Wow.
Yes, well, he's in the Big Five.
Against Kansas City. 3.5 strikeouts for Mr. Tight Pants.
Mr. Tight Pants.
I never noticed that until you guys brought it up, and then every time I watch him pitch now, it kind of bugs me.
Cut those things off of him.
I know. 3.5 strikeouts.
I'm going to say over.
For Bueller. Bueller?
He's not been great this year, so.
He hasn't, but he should go over 3.5. Dodgers minus 1.5 against the Gigantes. Again, we talked about this earlier. If the Padres win all their games this weekend, then I don't care what happens in the Dodgers-Giants because we'll gain on somebody. But if the Padres lose some of these games, then these Dodger-Giant games are really important.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Giants. Verlander's pitching tonight and has been really good the last handful of starts.
Yep. I'm going to go Giants, too.
Giants. Houston Cougars football tonight, -4 over Dion's Colorado Buffaloes.
There's a lot going on with the Colorado team these days. Like, yeah. Dion can't figure out what quarterback to start.
Dion cannot manage the clock. Dion doesn't know how or when to go for 2 points. I love Dion, but I can't stick up for him on some of these decisions he makes. They're not good. They just aren't.
I'm going to go with Houston.
So for that reason, you're taking Houston. I don't know anything about either team, but yeah, Dion's club, I don't think they go on the road and win. I'll take Houston. UCLA -15.5, New Mexico. The Bruins have looked bad so far. And New Mexico's New Mexico. I'll take UCLA to get well tonight.
They're at home. Okay,
at the Rose Bowl. 49.
I'll go with UCLA.
I'm sorry, too. I went jumped the gun there. 49ers giving 3 to the Saints in New Orleans with Mac Jones. He's starting. Brock Purdy not only out this week, but now they're saying like 5 weeks.
I have no idea what happened to the guy. Wow. He completed the game on Sunday.
He did. I don't. The turf toe is. We were joking about turf toe, and somebody wrote in and said it's really painful. And I know that.
Yeah, so, it is.
And
it
that,
is.
That's just what happened. He got turf toe, and he can't walk apparently.
Mac Jones will be fine. If they can't beat the Saints, they're in trouble. So I'm going to go 49ers.
I am too. Here's the big one of the weekend: Dolphins -1.5 over the Patriots.
How could any sort of person who puts these things together ever think that the Dolphins should be favored here?
Because I don't think everyone watched the game.
Should have watched
just
the game.
How bad they were. Keep in mind, the Colts had 7 possessions, scored all 7 times.
Yes, they did.
Miami is a mess. They had a team meeting after week 1.
That's bad.
But
at least they're getting it together after week 1.
Well, they're trying to anyway. I will say this: the Dolphins have covered, and this is what the bettors will tell you. The Dolphins have covered 9 in a row against New England. But the Patriots are the play here, people. I trust Uncle Chris. This is the worst Dolphin team I've ever seen. Patriots have to take advantage of it. What are you doing?
I'm tempted to take the Dolphins, but you are okay. Really convinced that they're terrible, so I'm going to go Patriots.
Go Patriots. One more thing. The WNBA playoffs start this weekend.
What?
WNBA playoffs are starting. Okay. The one best matchup in the first round, New York Liberty and Phoenix Mercury, both finished with the same record this year. They play game 1 in Phoenix on Sunday. The Liberty are favored by 1.5 on the road. Because they have championship pedigree, but Phoenix has had a good season and is at home here. What do you like?
Phoenix.
I'll go with the championship pedigree. Brianna Stewart.
Okay.
Not mentioning Simonia Ionescu.
Sabrina,
who bugs me.
Simonia.
Simonia. I don't know where I came up with that.
That's a...
Who knows?
I don't know.
Who knows? What was that one you play? I don't know what's going on with my head.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. I can get sense. That right here.
Don't ask me why my mind works the way it does. I have no idea. I think that sums it up as we get ready for... Tony coming back already?
Yes,
for
countdown.
The countdown. All right. I'm looking forward to today's... It's a non-sports topic. You guys will like it. Coming up.
Ben and Woods on the...
All right, welcome back. We got a countdown for you. But before that, Scraby just, blurted out that organ music, which means we got to get you a lineup for tonight's game. Get your lineups here. Scorecards and lineups here.
That was
hot roasted peanuts.
Hot roasted peanuts here.
Yeah. Cold beer here.
Cold beer here. I don't know why I'm just repeating everything you say.
I'm an idiot. Scraby's an idiot.
That was good. I will give you that.
Almost gotcha. All right, here we go. I don't know if that's the first time all year. Probably not, but it seems like it. The lineup is the exact same as last night. I haven't seen that in a while. Seems like there's some tinkering of, you know, somewhere, but not today. Tatis, Arise, Machado, Sheets, Laureano, Merrill, O'Hearn, Cronenworth, Fermin. Same nine as last night. J.P. Sears, Tanner Gordon, a rookie for Colorado, who does have 5 wins. He's pitched okay. 5 wins for the Rockies is saying something. Rockies don't have a lineup out yet. Pretty sure they can't figure out who to put in it. You know, call me silly, but the Rockies haven't scored a run here all year in 4 games.
Yes.
The first time they were in town, though, was it Kyle Farmer? Do you remember that? He had like every hit they had.
Yes, I do remember that.
Right? So why wasn't he in the lineup last night? Like the only guy that's gotten a hit for them, they didn't even play him.
I mean, what has he been doing for the
rest of the season?
I don't care.
Put him in. Rockies are deserve where they are. Like I said, Rockies, just go home. Wasting our time this
weekend.
Are
you too good for your home? You ready?
Do you want traffic?
Yes.
Tony's ready. Countdown. It's going to be fun.
From the 855 Get Ross Traffic Center, protecting San Diego after accidents or injury, here's Kelly Danik.
This game day traffic report is brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. Well, stalled car has just been moved over to the right shoulder southbound 5 before Grand Garnett and got an accident clearing on northbound 5 at the East 8 connector ramp. Got a collision on westbound 8, partially blocking the South 15 transition ramp. In the North County, westbound 78, right before Jefferson, stalled vehicle taking up the fast lane. What makes Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water different? They always bottle their Alpine Spring Water less than...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, sorry. I was doing notes. I forgot I host this segment.
I was like...
Yeah,
he's like, over there.
Hello, get out here. We're on countdown time. It's finally a Friday, so every Friday we, you know, think of something. Subject, we give our top five in that subject. Most of the time it's sports related, but not going to be that way today. Video games are on the subject of today's countdown. I have a feeling that, judging from the generation I grew up in, where, you know, Pong was a big deal. I can't. What I'm saying, because I did play Pong. I just want you guys to know that. Where, you know, Pong was like the first video game, I guess, ever invented or at least recognized as such. Anyway, I don't think we're going to have many of the same is what I'm getting to here.
I know. I think this is a good one.
I'll probably
one.
Have some old
this is a good one.
Oldies, but I hope goodies. And you guys will have stuff that I you know... Probably where people go around in the video game and try to create as much mayhem as possible. Isn't that what video games are now?
You can do anything.
Okay.
You can do anything.
Well, let's see what we got.
Number five.
I mean, N64 used to have a dolphin video game. I think it was called Echo.
What? What are you talking
you said,
about?
What?
I think that was
actually Dreamcast. Anyway, go ahead, Chris. You're first.
You want me to go first?
Yes.
All right. Number five for me is, I think, an all-time classic. It was an early one, but it was called Space Invaders.
Oh, of course.
We had one of those. For some reason, we got one, and it was in the fraternity where I lived. And obviously it was free to play. And that meant that I probably missed a few classes because I just started playing Space Invaders and just going on and on. I don't want to try to, it's hard to describe, but I know that I did learn one secret about the game, Space Invaders. There was what do you call it? A saucer that went, a flying saucer that went across the top of the screen.
Yes.
Sorry.
That needs to be clipped, by the way.
That was wild.
So
there was a saucer.
Yeah, all the saucers. But all of the other invading machines were coming at you. You had to shoot them. But then every, 35, 40 seconds, this one would go across the top of the screen from left to right or right to left. And if you shot that, you got bonus points. Somebody taught me that if you took something like 17 shots and then waited for that saucer to come across, you always got the maximum if you hit it on the 18th shot.
A little bit of a cheat code. A
little bit of a cheat code. Space Invaders was number 5. Look it up.
I know what it is, Chris.
All right, you do, but not everybody.
It's on my phone, actually. I play it all the time on my phone.
Interesting. Okay.
Where do we want to go next? Let's go to Tony.
I'll go next. Yeah. We'll take you back to the 90s. And I can't remember. I think this was maybe Super Nintendo or maybe Nintendo 64, but a racing game called F-Zero.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I remember that. It was a throwback game. It was like a futuristic kind of racing game. Well, I can't even describe to you what the vehicles were. They just looked like they hovered, were kind of fast. Love that game.
Yeah, that was a cool game. My number 5 is, I can't put it at 1, but I'm just going to say the Madden games, because growing up, I really, truly believed I was going to be a general manager for the San Francisco 49ers. And so I would go into the franchise mode, and I would do everything by the book. Contract negotiations. And my team never won the Super Bowl, so I gave up.
Yeah, because you over here, you got to skirt the rules, man.
Well, I know. I got to go, and I actually just got a bid on all the free agents. I was, like, trying to build a roster and the salary
over
cap.
This guy's over here trying to save money. It's like I'm a regular owner.
Well, I have to extend Steve Young next year, so. But, yeah, I love Madden. I haven't played the newish ones. The last one I played was, like, 2 or 3 years ago. And it's still fun, but it's not the same.
How funny is a Madden 6, or I get, did they have a number where they're always numbered?
Yes,
it used to be numbered.
I remember.
How funny
first...
is a Madden, like, you know what I mean? Like the first early ones.
Oh, I go back and play them.
Now.
Oh, I go
Listen,
back and play them.
It's, first of all, it's terrible. We're being
right,
honest.
Okay,
you can't, it's not the same.
I was going to say.
I remember my dad used to, one of his perks was they used to send him all the video games early.
That is amazing.
And so I remember going to visit him in spring training, and he already had the Madden. And it was like the greatest thing.
What?
I mean, the snow. It was the first time you could like put snow on the field.
I remember when you could make it
snow.
That was fun. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It was the greatest thing ever.
I like it. Okay, the first Madden game I ever played, they didn't have like some teams, and so one of them was like Tiburon. I don't know why.
Yeah,
one
yes,
of them
yes,
was Tiburon.
The sharks. Yeah,
yeah, the Sharks. Because like teams weren't giving their to use the likeness, and so they would put in like a fake team.
By
named
the way,
Tiburon.
They hadn't quite figured out a way to monetize it.
Yeah,
yet.
Exactly.
We'd have to look this up. It'd be fun, maybe one day, not now, but. How did this all come about, even? That Madden was the name behind this game, which, then explode. But the very beginning.
They've explained it recently.
I was about to say, I feel like it's in the doc.
Yeah, it's in the documentary about John Madden.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I think it was just because his name was huge.
Yeah.
And then,
so they
and
just
so he
named
went
the game after him? And...
Well, yeah, you got to remember, it was he at the time. I mean, there were some stars, but. Him and Pat Summerall were like the dudes at the time.
Yeah.
And he had, I think the first couple Pat Summeralls
did,
on the games with him for the most part.
Okay, last thing on Madden. The early ones, whenever you would have a big play, he would go boom, and he would just say it like they only had like 10 lines recorded.
Yeah, right.
My man, poor John Shabby now, who's doing it they got like it's like a full like 2 days to do that
it's
whole thing, come up with all the different sayings. Like it's crazy.
He must make a
it's
got
to be 50,000 different things that he has to do. It's insane because I'm playing the game and he's like referencing things.
Right. He got like full
specific
summary stories.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy.
Number 4.
Oh, wow. Okay, number four.
Wow. You surprised?
No, I'm not. I mean, I've heard most of this stuff. I'm not into that world, unfortunately, for me, because I think it would be fun. Missile Command will be number four. Missile Command is just a little bit of an updated version of Space Invaders. And instead of, space creatures coming at you, there's just missiles coming down from the top of the screen.
Yes, you have to hit
them. You have to move the control in the way of the missile, push the button, so that creates an X, and then you're basically exploding the missile before it gets to the ground.
You're intercepting the missile.
Right, and if the missiles get to the ground, you lose your man, and you have like 3-4 men. And it starts going really fast, and where you have to like take the ball control and start it on the left side of the screen and roll it across and go so that they'll set up a wall of blockers to keep the missiles from coming down.
Look at you with many the strategy. Of
those. That used to be... this is embarrassing, but why not? It's Friday. They had one of those at the neighborhood 7-Eleven. And I would come home and I would stop and I would buy a microwave burrito. 7-Eleven, Tony. Come on. This is as low as it gets.
Hey, I still eat 7-Eleven burritos every once in a while.
All right. Well, I'd get one of those and then go in the back corner of the 7-Eleven and play 6 or 7 Missile Command games, beating my burrito on the way home.
That's your normal. You say you still eat a 7-Eleven burrito. How does your gut...
No, God, this was in Missile Command
days. No, I'm talking to Spade.
Yeah, no, I haven't eaten
one
in a
while. How does your gut take it at 30-whatever now? Are you serious?
I'm 40.
You're 40. You shouldn't be having...
No, I haven't had one of those in a very long time, but when I
What's a very long time?
Couple hours.
Eight, 9 years, like around the time I stopped drinking.
So you still had a 32-year-old stomach at that point. All right, that makes some sense.
I would just drink and eat 7-Eleven burritos. It was a very healthy lifestyle.
I bet. Well, you should have tried it while playing Missile Command. You would have enjoyed it even more.
Tony, number four.
Number four, Castlevania.
He's got some good games,
does
man.
He really? What is that?
My dad.
No, that
see,
is.
I, this is how long ago it was. I thought it was Nintendo, but apparently it is Nintendo. This game was so good that they didn't make it for the original PlayStation, for Sega Saturn. I used to watch this game, he would literally be in the dark. My mom is asleep. And he'd be on this little TV over there playing Castlevania, for hours.
That's hilarious to me.
Wait a second.
Four hours.
Hall of Famer.
Does Alicia
father.
Know? Did Alicia ever know about this, or are you giving information?
No, for sure. Okay, she went to bed knowing, he's going to go play
for
Castlevania.
Half an hour.
She'd be lucky if it was
3 hours.
Half an
that
hour.
Is hilarious. Hilarious.
Castlevania. I got to look that one up.
Castlevania's great because you, whip people. You're like fighting.
It's
kind of
like a dragon.
You're fighting off vampire type things.
Okay.
My number four, and Chris, I think you definitely know what this is. Last of Us. It's a newer game, but it's been around for a long time.
Well,
but I think your brother-in-law, right?
My brother-in-law did the sound
TV show
for the television show.
Yeah, but The Last of Us.
I know of it, but I don't know what it is.
The first game I've played at least 10 times. It's amazing. It is one of the most perfect games I have ever played. It's very difficult. It's about zombies, or I guess clickers is what they call them in The Last of Us. So anyway.
Number three.
It's got to be a pretty good video game to make a two-year television series.
Yeah, you did.
Out of that game.
It was very popular.
Number three for me will be the original Donkey Kong. I don't know what Donkey Kong is now compared to what it was when I started in the early 80s.
I think Donkey Kong is now more of a character as a part of the Nintendo universe.
Okay.
More so than a standalone
actual
game.
Because at the beginning, the little
Mario... He's no longer a villain.
Yeah, he's a friend.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Okay, the original...
I mean, he was trying to drop barrels on you. He wasn't trying to kill you.
It wasn't the... Mario was trying to save the girl.
The princess.
The princess at the top. You had to climb up all these ladders and avoid...
I didn't even realize that was Mario until y'all just said
the
that.
Monster was dropping stuff, and you had to get out of the way. Then the barrels were rolling. You had to jump over the barrels.
Yep.
get all the way to the top to save the girl. But when you got there, he took the girl out of the screen and you went to another level.
Yeah, you go to level, yeah.
That's the original Donkey Kong that I liked. I don't know what it's become
I don't think that they have a game like that. But in like Mario Kart or Mario Party, you could choose Donkey Kong as your character that you're playing with for that.
There you go.
Chris is like, what's Mario Kart? What's Mario
Party?
Yeah,
I don't know what that is.
Tony, you're number three.
GoldenEye. GoldenEye was really the first. Kind of Resident Evil type game where you're like going around, you're sniping people, you're taking people out.
Like a campaign type game.
Yeah. This was the first of its kind. I don't remember there being another game like GoldenEye until that came out.
Is that the first like version of Grand Theft Auto where you're just going around?
No, GoldenEye is a James Bond game.
Yeah, but I mean, is it the same idea where you're going around doing as much destruction as you can?
It's spawned from that type idea, okay. Right? Where you become the dude and you're like,
right.
you're driving, you're doing different things of that nature.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're only
I think Grand Theft Auto just gives you more freedom to kind of do what you want to do.
Oh, yeah. Wow, we're getting a little music involved here. All right, don't dance, just the music's enough.
I love it so much.
Real right. quick, we're only on number three. I get the feeling we should have done a top 25 with Tony. Right. Seems like he could go all day on this.
I might be able to match him.
I'm a video game. I grew up, this was my life.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be a gamer until I saw what real gamers look like.
Hey, they're athletes now, okay?
Yeah, no, they got it.
My number three is something I recently started playing again because as a kid, this is going to explain a lot about me, I played Wolfenstein, which was a game where you killed...
Wolfenstein, huh?
Where you're in World War II and you killed Nazis and all this other stuff, but it's a graphic game.
Can you imagine... Well, now maybe that... crazy anymore, but could you imagine them trying to produce a game like that
back in like the
90s? No, like now.
Oh, now? Like now. I mean, yeah, I don't think it would happen.
I don't think it would happen,
but my dad used to play this all the time, and then I started playing when my parents were looking because they knew it was a bad game for me, but Chris probably has no idea what Wolfenstein is.
No, I'm curious about the Castlevania one. That one sounds
good. You need to Google it later.
I will. Number two for me will be, I think I'll go sports on at least one game. The one that took as more time than anyone I've ever played was the original Lynx Pro.
I think
that they have advanced that game to such a level now that I couldn't even control the ball anymore. And really, they tried to make it so realistic that they priced me or whatever out of it. Like, I just liked it when you push the button, your swing went, you tried to get it right in the middle, hit the button, and the ball went.
Yeah.
And you chose your club, and, you know.
Now they have swing path.
Right. They did so many different things and made it so lifelike that they lost me. But for the longest time at the beginning, Lynx Pro just played it endlessly. So
that could be said for Madden as well.
Oh, really?
Like they've made it so much more. They actually had made it so complicated that even they had to take a step back.
They scaled back.
Oh, really?
It was called Quarterback Vision. I remember it like it was yesterday. And you would have to...
It was a great concept. It just was
impossible. It just is so hard because each quarterback, Chris, had a cone that came out from their eyesight.
My goodness.
You would have to put the cone where the receiver is and hit the receiver or the throw button at the same time. It was ridiculous.
And so if you're going through your progressions, you're like going from one side of the field to the other. And I mean, it was hard.
And then I'm like throwing it out of bounds every single time. I had to turn off Quarterback Vision. It was too much. Tony, do you give us your number two?
No. Number two on mine is RBI Baseball.
Oh.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Dun,
now,
dun,
as a kid,
dun,
did you
Ken Griffey
dun,
baseball?
Dun, dun, dun,
no. This was before King Griffey. This was like the original baseball game.
Yeah,
and that was the song when you had runners in scoring position. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, so the Padres, dun, so the Padres wouldn't hear that much.
They didn't even have. Did they have the Padres?
I don't know.
One of the versions. I don't know if they had the Padres, but the second version they did.
All right. Now, as a kid, were you into playing as your dad, or were you into, you know, being someone else?
In the RBI days, I would, you know, I would play with my dad occasionally. You remember, there was no really concept
to the
game. You're just playing games.
Yeah.
But then once they went to like having a season and doing all that, I'd probably play with the Padres more. And then once they said fantasy draft, I would just try to draft my dad onto whatever team I had.
I mean, that's so cool. I gotta say, that is pretty darn cool. All right, my number two, we're running out of time. Mortal Kombat. Get over
here. The other thing with my dad was, we as a family, it'd be like, all right, how good are you going to make him? Because, sometimes they try to shortchange pops on the video game.
Man, that's so interesting. Yeah, we need to do like a podcast on that one day, because that's very interesting to me that you guys as a family would look at his rating and be like, screw 100%. You, video game!
100%.
Whoa.
What?
Huh?
Number one.
Relax. Mortal Kombat was my number two.
Gotcha. Number one for me, the only game I was ever good enough to actually draw a crowd. People would come and watch me play Pac-Man. And the reason they would, there was a reason.
This is so funny.
There was a reason for it, though. Anybody who knows a lot about the original Pac-Man will know this, but a lot of people didn't. There was a pattern. And if you learned the pattern of how to move your little Pac-Man through the maze, the ghosts would never get you. Mm. So you couldn't be, eliminated. And what would happen is you would go... Most people could only go two or three levels before they finally ran out of Pac-Men. Mm. I could go to, like, level 25.
Oh,
and
wow.
So people would be seeing the game... Stuff in the game that they'd never seen before. They didn't even know existed.
That's a good feeling.
So it was fun.
That's a great feeling. Being a professional Pac-Man guy.
I have been on the internet for a few years now scouring to try to find that pattern again so that I could do it again, because it was really fun, but I can't find it.
You definitely...
it's hard to find, because now everybody's got a pattern. Now there's a million of them out there. Anyway.
Number one on my list was the original NBA Live.
Oh, yeah.
It was the first, like, real... You had the hardwood floor. I remember playing in Boston. You had the parquet there. Like, they had all of those details. I just remember sitting... This is back when, my parents had a house in Fishers, Indiana. I remember sitting there in those cold winters when we'd go back for, like, Christmas, and I'd be on those video games, like, all day long. Playing my pops, playing my uncle. We just go one-on-one all the time.
There's something great about that feeling of sitting down to a video game and just having nothing but time ahead of you.
But time.
Yeah. There is.
I was playing video games and ordering music videos off the box. That's what it was called back then.
that shocked me.
I bet he was eating with the other hand. Yeah. And a little bite of food over there on the side.
Playing with his toes, actually. My number one, Tony already said it, GoldenEye. I love this game. It changed everything about games for me. N64, doing the missions, having a campaign, like acting like you are actually in video games for me. It was great. So, all right.
There's our countdown. We got to get away at the top here, but we got Chris versus the fans coming up, 833-288-0973. Let's play.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.